if only I had known and I had 200 grand when I was 4 years old to go and buy an F40, I would have been a millionaire now.
I had a missed call and a voicemail from the insurer, and they said, hi, Mr. Chandler, just letting you know that your insurance is due to be cancelled. We've done a total car check on the car, and it's come back as a limousine.
You said?
And my first response was, really? Hello, everyone. Welcome to Cream, episode 7.
Seven.
I'm Will Chandler, and this is Edwin Klinkenberg Evans.
Yeah.
Long name.
Yeah, that's the one.
Seventh episode.
We're in.
We're doing all right so far.
And at the beginning of every single Cream episode, we ask ourselves, do cars rule everything around us this week, or do they ruin everything around us this week? Will, kick us off.
I got two good reasons to be rule. The cheap Range Rover that I mentioned I bought last week is still running.
Ish.
With minimal problems.
Yeah.
But still running. It's done 1,000 miles with minimal problems.
Right.
No breakdowns. The 350Z, we've just come back
really
from mapping on that. Also looking way, way better.
So
I'm really
much better
with that. But my Clio. My Clio.
Can you start, please? Because we actually haven't updated, I don't think, anyone since you were going to put the engine in, I think.
No. There is actually a video ready to go, basically, on this that is meant to go on our other second channel.
Yeah.
And the end of that video is, wow, it starts.
It
amazing
runs.
Which it did start and run. It was amazing. I can't believe it. I got the timing right. Everything was great. Later on, I found an oil leak.
Oh no.
And then I went to fix that oil leak. And then I snapped off a stud on a camshaft. So that was quite painful.
Which, if you aren't aware, is camshaft dead.
Yeah. So basically, I had to replace a camshaft and then redo the timing, which was another day of work. And then at the same time, fix the oil leak, which I thought was a cam seal or something. Did all that, started it up, same oil leak. I think I might have the seals the wrong way around. Zoo people, for no reason.
Very, very nice, very clean.
I have to go back in.
We're going in again,
we
boys.
Have to go in. I was expecting this car to be up and running 2 weeks ago.
So overall, what is yours?
70, I'm going to, as I'm sort of 75% rule, I'll go with rule.
For me, I'm undecided yet because I'm apprehensive. Mm. Tomorrow, I'm going to look at a car to buy. But my week in review is I was made more sick by my Honda Beat because there's water getting into it.
Nice.
And I daily that car. You can ask any of the people here. I drive that tiny little micro car that I bought. It's not really a micro car. It's just a small car.
Small.
Basically every single day to work. And it's great. I love it. The roof is getting a little bit leaky and that's let water in and it's getting moldy. And that made me sick. So instead, I had to take my M3 in, which is, it's not a bad problem to have. But also, I don't like driving that over winter. I still drive it a lot, but I try not to daily it too much. So I'm all guns on daily finding. And I found another C55 AMG. I might go and buy that tomorrow. We'll see. The next podcast will tell all. So I'm feeling like I'm in rule at the moment. I'm feeling excited.
So this could be daily season.
This could be good.
It looks rough, right, this car, but it's
It looks honest is what it looks. It's not perfect,
car.
But it looks quite honest. Yeah. And the seller seems quite honest. It's very far away. So right after this podcast is finished, I'll be getting on a train up north, staying in a hotel overnight, which is a bad idea.
Also, we are at the NEC tomorrow for the classic car. Well, I don't know. I may not make it in terms of life. But we are meant to be at the Classic Car Show tomorrow, and we have a live podcast thingy to do with Alex. So you are tonight going to York.
Yeah.
And then you're also going to be at the show tomorrow.
Yeah. Right? I'm going to wake up first thing, go and see this car. If it's good, buy it, drive it to drive it down to Birmingham, to the NEC.
Sounds good.
It's your classic meet and two Edwin story of going to buy a car. So it might be good for me. We'll see. Benjamin behind the camera. Your GoPro is no longer sat on a bin. You have a tripod.
No, I can't show you, but we are on a, it's quite funny because we're also, the main camera is on a tiny tripod and the GoPro is on a giant one.
We've got new mics as well, by the way. If you, different, you can hear us.
And a soundboard.
We have a, very good. We went out and spent money on the extra expensive one so that we could do that. So we have a couple of sound effects.
But we've got, I'll run you through very quickly. We've got.
Me too.
We've got, and then we've got the intro.
Very nice.
And there are a couple of extra ones, but also I can filter Edwin's voice. So Edwin, please say something.
Hi there. Oh, hello. Oh God, I don't like how I like this.
This is very strange.
Anyway, that's what we've been doing the last week.
Great. How is that different to my normal voice, by the way? Okay, so Ben, rule or rule? Other than your soundboard, which is you're clearly very happy about.
Yeah, very happy. Rule? Because later on today, I'm picking up my X5.
See, ooh. Wow, that's interesting. It's interesting to do a prospective rule. He doesn't know that he has it yet.
That's true.
But he's saying it's
ruled. I paid for it and it's in my name now. So
who did you pay for that?
Will.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Ben has bought my X5.
Out of interest, Ben, you've bought two cars off Will now. Why are you just buying Will's garage?
Because Will buys good cars.
Well, for the most part, I hope so.
Well, that's interesting, Ben, because you say that, but the Clio that you bought off Will, how did that go last night?
So I got home and I was on the phone. So I was sat in the car, my other car, for like 2 minutes next to the Clio. And I looked over and I was like, my Clio just flashed its hazards. That's very odd. I was like, anyway, I'll ignore that. I'll get the keys from the house and I'll go and move it. So I moved it, locked it, walking up the road. And I just randomly thought, I was like, the alarm about to go off or something. Stood there and the alarm went off and would not stop. And it's midnight at this point, because I just got home. And turns out water had gotten behind the scuttle panel into the alarm and broke the alarm.
Nice.
So I had to yesterday pull the alarm out, which will be replaced, insurance company. Thank you very much. So that was fun.
But still rule.
It was rule because I thought it was a ruin. And I was actually thinking as I was doing it, I was like, I have to put this in the podcast. But I took the scuttle panel off myself, took the wiper arms and the motors out myself, did a bodge job of it, and then put it all back together perfectly.
He's learning well.
You're a mechanic.
I'm a mechanic.
Me? I'm a mechanic.
Exactly. That's solid work. Also, you found that it had been previously taped.
Mm.
And also,
I
would admit it to you now because I don't care. It wasn't me. So that was something else. And I've been in there before as well because I've changed out things behind there.
Great.
So, Ben, we've potentially got two rules here.
Two rules.
And
which is an overall.
This is an overall win. It is an absolute dub from us.
This is our biggest rule yet, I think. I think we've only had one at a time so far.
Also, two Clio L's. So.
Yeah. No, but the Clio's a W now.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Good to hear. Right. Let's move it on. And also, let us know in the comments. We always like to read your guys' rule or ruins for the week. So let us know in the comments what you're feeling. Will, take us away with some news.
Kicking off with some news. There's not much, but we'll rattle through this. Audi has launched a new brand in China. Would you like to know its name?
Is it Audi backwards? Is it Yuda?
It's Audi.
What?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Yeah, it's Audi.
What?
It's Audi, but it's all caps.
Okay.
It was Audi.
So hold on.
It was Audi.
Before it was just normal Audi.
Yeah. So when you buy an Audi in China, you go, sorry, can I buy an Audi?
I'm thinking about the Mercedes.
Oh, no, I
could go for the BMW, but I think I'm going to go for the Audi.
Can I buy an Audi?
I don't know what that is.
Sorry, Audi.
Oh, they're quite good. I quite like those.
So apparently to do with they're selling more electric cars out there. BEVs.
The Chinese are on the BEVs.
They got the BEVs. They are on the BEVs in China.
Man, let's get out to China. Yeah. Let's get on the BEVs.
The only thing interesting about that is that it's quite funny.
There's another thing. They've removed the Rings logo for that one.
It's just all caps.
It's Audi. Literally the word Audi.
I heard about this, and there were rumors that they were also going to potentially reduce the rings for some models.
Hold on.
Maybe like two rings or three.
Just a big circle.
Now,
I like that one.
Are you telling me that that's on the cars they're going to get rid of the rings?
It's just the word Audi in big capital letters. But from my understanding, not here. Well, I guess, yes.
In China.
Yeah, in China.
What the hell?
There must be some kind of reason behind that.
Basically, it's a sub-brand of Audi. It's called Audi.
This is my son, Audi.
Because obviously you've got in China, you've got Tesla make most of their cars in China now. You've got BYD, who are bigger, the only company that's bigger than Tesla.
Build your dreams.
Yeah, that's the one.
You're building your dreams, Ben.
I'm not. I will never be building my dreams. But we've got, those two is kind of to take on those, I guess, in the electric car market. But no rings.
Interesting. Our current brand isn't good enough. We've got to build a new brand to take them on. Which one is it? It's the same brand that we're failing at doing.
Just less recognizable.
Okay. All right, mate.
So if you are Chinese, can you tell us why you don't like the rings?
And can you also tell us what the BEVs like?
What are you up to out there? Why do you want all the electrics for? Speaking of electric, in other news that we don't care about, Mercedes-AMG is building its first ever electric performance SUV.
Oh, no. Anyway.
Yeah, anyway, next news. now, this is an interesting one. We only saw this one this morning. It's not looking good, bruv.
What?
The boys at Ferrari. The boys in Maranello.
Oh, yeah, the Fair 40 thing.
They're running out of ideas.
Mm.
Is Ferrari planning on resurrecting the F40? Now, this is a Top Gear article. I will give them that credit because they have found a source. So basically, there is a rumor, a very strong rumor, that Ferrari is going to follow up, you know, like they did the Monza SP1, yep. SP2, the roof.
The special things.
The very special ones, yeah. They're going to follow that up.
Sorry, the money printing machine.
The money printing machine. The thing that is, that was basically a LaFerrari without the hybrid motor.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I thought it was just like an 812 or something, yeah, that had...
Or like LaFerrari engine type.
But
thing.
Yeah, but yeah, it was,
yeah.
Wow.
But now... potentially F4, like they're going to do a F40 style thing.
Homage.
Yeah, but like, what? Well, to be fair, actually, they do have a twin turbo V8.
This is true.
But not quite. Not with the same
character
as an old,
yeah,
F40 V8.
Unless they
did it with a V12.
Strap some G550s to it. Some silly big aftermarket turbos that spool up in six.
He's going to have so much lag.
3 to 5 business days, then we're on board.
We don't want him to work modern times. He's going to be lagging big time. But yeah, that is potential. Top Gear have got some renders.
That just looks like, that's just the, what's it called? That's the thingy. What do you call that guy? The F80?
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
That's just an F80.
Yeah. But I imagine they'll go for the kind of boxy looking wing. Mm. But that's the thing, whatever the new one's going to be, it's probably going to be too modern and smooth looking,
yeah,
and agreed, curvy to really be an F40.
The reason the F40 is so special is because when you look at it, it cannot exist now.
Yeah.
We cannot replace it.
It is again a snapshot in time. Yeah, F40. So, like, to replicate, you can't replicate it. I'm sure they can have like bit parts of it, like the wing or,
yeah,
knacker ducts or the louvers on the back. Like, you, those are little bits maybe you can do. But
I have a.
I don't think they're going to do it justice.
I used to have a wallpaper, and I'll find it. And we'll put it on screen. It is a photo sitting in Miami traffic of an F40 and the Diablo sat at a set of lights with just normal cars around them.
Ah, yes.
And it is. I knew of F40s. I was a big fan of them. But when you see that photo, you realize how absolutely mad it must have been to see one at the time. Because,
yeah,
it is so different from anything that you could possibly imagine on the road. Yeah. Like now, take for instance that new MG, the Cyberster.
Yeah.
That's a good example. That's kind of a normal, you can walk into an MG dealership and buy it, but it looks like a concept car.
Yeah.
That didn't exist in the 80s, late 80s, early 90s. That's why they're so special.
Everyone's driving around in boxes.
Yeah. So
all of a sudden,
I don't know. I don't know that, yeah, they can make it special enough.
It feels like a money grab,
yeah,
type thing. It's like, you, I don't know. I don't like Ferrari at the moment.
No.
Look, Ferrari, okay, if you're watching, listening, you can reach out.
I'm Ferrari right now. Hello, sir. Mr. Chandler. Would you like a Ferrari we can give to you now?
Yes.
Okay, so you're in.
Yes.
So you're back in.
Sold.
You know what? I actually really like Ferrari.
No, actually, Ferrari's so good. they don't care about us.
They really don't care.
Anyway, that's kind of all the news, really. Oh, actually, no, sorry. On the F40 thing, I thought of a hark back to my old YouTube days.
The weekly Project Fast Cars update.
Project Cars Fast.
You're going to have to make it public so that people can go and watch them after this.
I don't want
to do that. No, you know what? We're not going to make it public so that you can drip feed like interesting videos, yeah, you got over the years. I like that.
I had over 1 million views on that channel.
What?
Across some videos.
100,000 videos.
I used to upload 3-second videos and people would come. And that was when like long videos didn't exist and people would still complain.
Yeah.
They'd be like, just filmed on a potato, mate.
That's actually the exact same thing you said in the last podcast to the word.
Actually,
go back and play that side by side.
Really?
You said that exact same thing.
Well, that's what people say. It did get to me. Hence why I retired. but anyway, Ferrari, Maranello Egham.
In Sari. Yep.
Ferrari dealer that's been around for ages.
One of the goats.
There was an F40 in there. I remember seeing it. And again, F40s were still rare, right? You didn't really see them. There was an F40 in there. At one point, they had Enzo F50, all the boys,
apart
from a 288. But they had an F40 for sale. I remember it.
Don't say it.
£225,000.
The thing is, it's the same. It's that meme of, I should have bought a house during the 2008 financial crisis instead of being 3 years old and playing and watching cartoons. It's the same thing. If only I had known and I had 200 grand when I was 4 years old to go and buy an F40, I would have been a millionaire now.
Also, that would have roughly been in the financial crisis.
Yeah.
How the other half perhaps do live.
Oh.
Because everyone else is, mate, this is getting tight.
I might lose my
this
house.
Guy, do you know what? I'm going to buy an F40.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, he's made £1 million on that if he's still got it. But also, one of the funniest things, what I actually saw it get bought and driven away. He just drove it away with no number plates on.
That's front, how I'm
front,
trying to
front,
be.
Front and back. He walked into Ferrari Egham, bought an F40 for £225,000, drove it home with no number plates, nothing front or rear. And 10 years later, as probably in big profit.
Here's a question for you. Perhaps if you're listening and you are of the constabulary, if you're a policeman or woman in the UK, you don't have to comment publicly. If you don't want to out yourself, maybe you can email us in. We'll put it in the next podcast. Do you look past certain things that are probably not illegal? Well, yeah, illegal, you know, like a plate that's not there on the front. If it's an F40 and you're into cars, you just let it slide.
That's all right.
Because I'll be honest, I couldn't swear an oath because I would.
Yeah.
If you drove past me in an Enzo and you got no plates, I'd be like, off you go, mate.
If you're in an F40 on the road and you're blasting at top speed, I'll get you a job. Don't worry about it.
Look, don't be stupid, but do a pull.
Just, yeah. Get a corn.
Let me get some rollers out the window.
while we've got the police on the line, we asked them at what speed we ever take them on the motorway, they can actually pull us over. Because this was a debate we had earlier, right?
But surely, technically, they would say
any speed 71. That is over 70. Yeah.
But like a 72 miles an hour, is it worth their time to pull you over?
That's a great question.
But they could, though.
That's the debate
we had
earlier.
They would be
within
their own right. Within anything's right.
Yeah.
It's insane. But
now, also there's the 10% myth where because of people's speedometers, which are not always perfect, there is a margin of error that is tended to be granted, which I assume is what the answer would be, that if you look like you're just abiding by traffic laws, but you happen to be at, you know, a mile an hour or two over, you're probably fine. But if you flew up at 110, then went hard on the brakes down to 80, you're probably still going to get done.
But no one's speedo is over.
Yeah, it could be.
I don't think that's legal.
It's not legal, but let's say someone you had no idea about it had put smaller wheels on your car than what you had originally. Little caster wheels.
What? 2,000 miles an hour.
Like the beat overestimates what it's doing. It's in kilometers still, but it overestimates by like 5 to 10 miles an hour. So I have to use Waze, or I should, in theory, get it. I have got it calibrated correctly.
Calibrated. So if you're the police, leave us alone. But also let us know your secrets.
So we may enter into
Where
them.
Are the speed cameras?
Where are you?
How many are there? Do you have quotas? How much is a speed fine? How many points do I have?
Are the speed cameras even on?
Are they on? When are they on?
Because there's a theory that not all of them are on. Like the old boxy ones that are just sat there. Are they on?
Ben, let's test this. You drive past some old boxy speed cameras as quick as you can and we'll see if they go off, mate.
All right.
We'll report back next week.
Let's do it on someone else's number plate.
Yeah. On the Queen's number. Sorry, the Queen's
someone
number
though. Or what I could do is not change the ownership for the X5 yet and then drive home all the speed cameras.
You have changed it though, haven't you?
I quite like that.
Yeah.
Ooh, tough to hear.
Perhaps the brown barge.
Right, we're getting on a tangent. Let's carry back
on. So if you're police, get in touch. Or don't. Get in touch in a friendly manner.
please get in touch, not through the form of a white or brown letter.
Yeah. Brown letters. At the DVLA.
Let's maybe explain for people who aren't English. In the UK, whenever you get correspondence from the DVLA, who is our kind of equivalent of the DMV,
driving
if you're in America,
vehicles lengthily, always.
Always, yeah. They are anything you have to do with cars in the UK, you will do things through them. They have a website, but we're a bit old fashioned. We tend to get letters for everything. So I buy a car off Will. Well, for instance, Ben buys a car off Will.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
You change the ownership online. You fill in that I have changed, you know, it's gone to this person, this address, this there. They then send a letter both to Will saying you are now no longer the owner and a letter to Ben saying you are now the owner. Here's your document. The same color letters and the same letters in general arrive to you if you get a fine. Yep. If you've been speeding, you've got points. Any of those.
Also for number plates and stuff. So there's many things.
All of it comes in the same looking letter. So if you're from the UK, you probably know the anxiety. And we buy a lot of cars.
Yeah.
So we are getting constant brown letters every day or two. Yeah. And every single time one arrives, we hand it to the other person and go, you do it. I'm not looking.
Earlier this week, I got three brown letters. And my girlfriend sent me a picture. She's like, there's three brown letters. I was like, I know what two of them are. Because I know I'd bought two cars. Yeah. I was like, okay, that's going to be those two. We're all right. I was like, I don't know what the third one is. And I completely forgot I took a private plate and put it on retention. So I just took it off the car and that's what the third
Didn't
one was.
You send her a message and say, can you please tell me what it
is? I was like, please open them all and tell me what they are. Because if it's like V5, V5, and then, you've been done for speeding.
I do it.
I'd be so upset.
Every single night I get home, I walk to the front door and I look and check that there's no mail.
Yeah.
And I look and I go, Brown, no Brown. That's fine.
No Brown.
That's good.
No Brown.
So, well, I don't actually remember what the beginning of that tangent was.
Wait, but tell me, why are you too worried about the speeding letter coming through if you drive at the speed limit?
Because sometimes you don't see
it's
things.
Not about speed, Ben. It could be a fine for going into a lane that wasn't marked nicely. And it's
I
a
thought
bus
you
lane.
Guys are model drivers.
Hey, man, look, it happens to the best of us. You know, sometimes you move into a lane that's a bus lane. You've been papped.
Even the greats make mistakes.
Listen, the goats of all time had to get there. So, you know, the path to success is paved with brown letters.
I had to grind for this view.
Fantastic.
And it's 6
absolutely
points.
Absolutely meaningless gibberish.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Should we go to the forum?
No.
No?
No. We're going to talk about...
Have you not come up with a forum question?
No, I do. I just want to press Ben's my forum button.
Oh, of course.
Not only am I going to edge Ben ever so much more with his...
And then we'll do the podcast.
Ben is desperate. Ben is desperate to press his button. But before we do that, I'm going to speak about our audience.
Hello, mate.
You guys that are listening. Oh. Turns out you're better than expected.
Shout out to you guys.
You guys, because not we've had a couple of good messages.
Yeah.
So I got a DM a week or so ago from a man named Greg.
Now, Greg, I'm going to take offense here. Because Greg, you messaged Will, you didn't DM me.
Yeah, that's crazy.
What you're about to explain was the most exciting thing in the world. And I went into my DMs thinking, Greg's going to have messaged me
too.
He'll say the same thing to me. And you didn't, Greg. And I love them just as much, okay? It's like when your parents get, you know, divorced. We both love you just as much. We both want to go in this thing, which take it away.
But he messaged me. Do you know what? I will read the actual message. Hey, Will, love all the things you guys are doing, especially the Cream podcast. Heard you mention the Mercy Lago a few times, and it's like I'm listening to my internal monologue. Haha. Now, at this moment, I thought, okay, he's a fellow Mercy Lago enjoyer, but like us, can't afford one, is many, many years away from ever even thinking about affording one. But then he said, I picked up an LP640 a few months ago, and it really lives up to the hype. If you guys ever make a trip over to the States, East Coast, and want to get behind the wheel, give me a shout.
Greg.
I responded with an erection.
And then I got back to his message.
We're on our way. The flights are booked.
Unironically, so we had planned to do a little America trip at the end of this year, which didn't end up coming through. And then we were like, we'll probably plan like an America trip late next year. No, the moment that message came in, we'll screenshotted it, sent it in our WhatsApp group, which was met with, whoa! And we then all said, all right, let's get America going quite quickly.
Yeah.
We need to head to America.
We have to go there.
Greg.
We don't care if none of you want to watch it, but
we're going.
We've been offered a Mercy Lago to drive.
Where Greg, is it? Washington, D.C.?
East area? Coast. Washington.
We're going to be, even if we're in L.A., we're going to Washington.
It's also, it is a coupe.
Balloon white.
It's the, yeah, like the pearly metallic white, which is, I was not what I would choose if I was becking one.
Peak but LP640.
It is, that is 2000s LP640.
That is
.com.
You know what that is? That's Need for Speed LP640. Yeah, he's coming on the cover of things. Oh, it's so good.
Rappers and what such.
Of course. So
we may go there.
We
will be going there. Greg, mate, if you're listening,
we might even
if you want to come here
and drive the Zafira. Sure, that's
let us
trade.
Know.
The Ninky Nonk.
The Ninky Nonk, you're more than welcome.
We can take you out in the limo.
We'll pick you up from the airport in the limo.
Speaking of the limo.
Oh.
Before we have another story from a viewer as well, which is also useful. But speaking of the limo, so we bought a limo recently, in case you didn't know. I don't know if you've mentioned it before.
Maybe not.
No. So we bought a Lincoln Town Car limo, which is 28 feet long. It cost us £1,150.
Yep. There is a video out there of it if you want to watch it.
We put 8 people in the back or 7 people with a lunch table going as well.
Of course.
The car was going. It's very, very funny. It's very, very long and it's very, very silly. But when we bought it, we did struggle to insure it. Like we usually use like a temporary insurance thing for most things to sort of insure it for the day or a few hours or whatever. Nothing would cover that car because it's an import.
Imported stretch limo.
Yeah. So nothing came up on temporary insurance. So we thought, wow, we'll just insure it for a year.
Yeah.
Why not? And it came up. So I insured it for me. I'm old. And it said £370. And I have never
incredible.
Had an insurance quote that cheap.
So cheap.
Ever. And that's with no claims and nothing like that. It was all just as it was. If you're on the video, about 2 or 3 days after that, this was about 8 days after we bought the limo, I got a phone call. Sorry, I had a missed call and a voicemail from the insurer. And they said, hi, Mr. Chandler. Just letting you know that your insurance is due to be cancelled in 7 days. If you'd like to find out the reason why, please give us a call on blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh, okay, great. Have they, I don't know what's happened here. So called them up, said, hi, what's going on? Why are you cancelling my limo insurance? Sorry, I didn't say limo. And she said, we've done a total car check on the car and it's come back as a limousine.
And you said,
and my first response was, really?
As if, hold on, let me have a look at it. Oh, so you're so right.
You know what? When we bought it, it was getting awfully dark.
You know, when we bought it, it was a normal length. Sorry, I don't know what's
happened. Didn't have my long distance glasses on. It did look awfully short. I went back to her and I said, what's wrong with that? Like, what's the problem?
A limo's got to drive.
But basically, there was nothing on the insurance that said, is it a limo?
Yeah.
Maybe there was, but I didn't see that. So nothing that said that. And again, we genuinely didn't know. We thought it was insured as normal. I put the plate in.
Yeah.
But it turns out you're meant to tell them if it's a limo. I mean, it kind of makes sense. But also, it's just a car, man.
It's just a car. We're not using it for hire.
Very long.
We're not, like, it's not actually being used for any business purpose.
Yeah.
It's simply a recreational limo.
But I said to her, can we now insure it as a limo? Yeah. Like, can you just give me a quote for that? And she said, no, we don't insure limos.
It's unjust.
Yeah.
It's, you know.
How am I meant to insure a limo then?
I can
drive the limo, but I can't insure the limo.
No, you're not.
So if you are an insurance broker, insurance person, man, woman that does limos, let us know.
Let's.
We were planning to just use the limo.
Yeah, we're going to drive it. We're going to go pick up parts in it.
And now it's marked in a hedge.
Let's end limo discrimination.
Yeah.
We were also going to do a podcast in it, but we opened the door and there was rat droppings and a rat had eaten part of the seat.
Yeah.
So we can't really sit in there at the moment, but we'll clean it out.
And
we'll
that's thanks to you, insurance.
Also happened upwards of 2 days after we parked it up.
Yeah.
So there was a rat waiting to get in there.
He was either in there, he was either hiding, which I think might be more funny, the fact that there was a rat under the seat while there were seven people being thrown.
That feels like some kind of Disney cartoon.
Exactly.
That's literally, was it Washed Away?
Yeah.
Flushed Away. That's a drip.
Epic
away.
Movie. Also, yeah, the other person that got in contact.
Here we go.
And I feel bad also because I haven't yet responded to the email, but I will.
It did only happen last night as we're filming this, to be fair, right? Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
This is Tom.
This is Tom.
Tom May.
Ooh. Okay, sorry. While I've just opened my phone to pull up this email, I've got quite a funny text message. And I implore you, we like to do this in the unit. We like to say to whoever says it, we'll say to the other two people here, don't laugh. It's a very simple thing not to laugh.
Okay,
here we go. It's not a hard thing for you to do. Now,
lock in.
What I'm going to do, I will read the message for you. But I'm just going to show Will for now, and you're not going to laugh. Ready?
I'm good. I'm clear.
He's fine.
So, yeah. Ben, I'll read it for you.
Okay, all right. Let me lock in.
This is from the seller the seller of the Porsche Boxster that we bought in the last episode. And you will remember that I found in the glove box two lovely pairs of Ray-Bans. And I've got a message from Boxster Woman. I don't know why I named her that, but she's the woman that sold the Boxster. Any chance I could get the sunglasses back? Laughing emoji. Their prescription.
What?
Their prescription.
Oh, wow.
Which is why, which must be the ones I gave to you. So you paid me £50 for prescription sunglasses.
That I can't see through.
If you're listening to this, the woman who sold me the Boxster, very nice of you. No thanks, because I've sold them already. But... good stuff.
How about she emails Will or texts Will?
Oh, mate, you can
I'm
make some
willing
profit.
To do a deal. £140,000 for the prescription sunglasses. Also, you lost them now.
They're gone.
Really? If we were nice, we would. But you sold it as seen.
Sold the scene. Sorry, this is taking me
also,
a while.
Also, knowing Will, slight tangent, knowing Will, he'll probably lose the sunglasses anyway.
Don't talk to me about sunglasses.
Will, when we were filming the Porsche road trip, Will put his head out the window of the car with his sunglasses on his head and then end up on a Belgian motorway.
My favourite sunglasses.
In pieces.
And then I broke the sunglasses I bought to replace those sunglasses, I broke in the back of the limo.
Yep.
Thanks to your driving.
Yep. Sorry, we've gone a mega tangent so far. This podcast is a bit all over the place.
Anyway, Thomas.
But Thomas Monahan sent an email. If you're listening, Thomas, big shout outs to you. In the last one, we said we want to go to the McLaren Technology Center.
Please.
And this email opens, hi Edwin, Will and Ben. Have been following the channel since the offset. XYZ, thank you very much for the support. Appreciate that a lot. I just finished listening to the podcast you released yesterday talking about the McLaren Technology Center and wanting to touch all of the F1s. I did say that. And I might be able to help with some of those ambitions. I'm Tom, I'm 25, and I'm an enjoyer of ropey vehicles. My man, having owned all sorts, most of which has been have interesting stories. Nice little jape at Ben here. Most have interesting stories, as nearly all shitboxes do, aside from Ben Z61. That's just brown. Big ups, Tom.
Not anymore, Tom.
I'm also an electrical systems engineer at McLaren and one of the four who designed and developed the active aero system for the new W1.
That's cool.
It would be great to get you guys in here. I see three options, and then goes on to list the way that we can either get in contact with the press office or he can potentially get us in. Tom, we're coming for you, brother.
Big up to you, Tom.
We will see you soon. I will reply to your email. We're going to set that up because
you have made the offer.
Absolutely, yes.
We will make sure.
Perhaps Vincenzo from Pagani is watching and he wants to get us to the Pagani factory. You know, just send them in.
We're now realizing what we say on the podcast. We've said we would like to drive. We didn't even say we'd like to drive a Mercia Logo. We just said that we like them.
Yeah.
And but someone came through.
Bucket list to drive.
And we have said we'd like to go to the technology center and someone has come through.
Guys,
what dream would you like?
If anybody has a McLaren F1 that I can drive, that'd be cool, I guess. Oh, man, you know?
Speaking of the Mercia Logo,
that'd be cool, I guess.
It'd be so nice if someone gave one to me.
We'll take it in baby steps.
A manual roadster.
6.2.
6.2, yellow, black seats, maybe yellow piping.
Yeah.
Low miles, good service history, recent cluster
exhaust,
brakes.
A fab speed would be lovely. Yeah.
If you could just hand it over.
That'd be lovely.
That'd be lovely. I'm expecting DMs to go off once this goes off.
Meanwhile, I have an Aygo. You can drive that. Yeah.
But we like these offers. We love this.
But shout outs to you.
Yeah.
Weakest cream enjoyer is Lamborghini Murcielago owner. That's great to hear.
We didn't realize you were such a cultured bunch.
You guys know your onions.
Also from the US.
Yeah.
We're reaching far
and wide.
Americans listening to us and understanding what's going on is crazy.
It's because of the background. People are just watching Midnight Club, which we've got, if you're listening, we've got Midnight Club 3 playing behind us.
Best Midnight Club?
Best Midnight Club for me. LA's close, but
This is the guy.
Shall we move on to the forum?
Yes. Hang on.
Very nice.
I made that yesterday.
That's Ben's voice as well. This is the forum, and it is a section that we like to do on the podcast, if you're not familiar, where we like to open it up to you guys who maybe aren't as car nerdy as we are. There are maybe some questions that you've always wondered, something you've always wished you could ask, but you were too embarrassed to. This is your safe space to ask us, and we'll only make fun of you a little bit. So, Ben,
hello.
Have you got a question from the audience to ask us?
This is from Stuntman.
What's it got, Stuntman?
Shinja.
Okay, hello, mate. How you doing?
Sorry, I don't know if I botched that.
What's it got, Stuntman?
Forum question. How do you judge what kind of mileage on a car is good enough to buy and drive without much issues? Is it completely dependent on the model/engine, etc.? Or is there a general rule of thumb, like don't buy cars over 120k miles because they'll break? Over to you.
This is something I feel like non-car people, like my family, will do so often. Like someone will be like, more than 80,000 miles, don't buy it. It's like there's just a number that people have in their head where they're like, I wouldn't have anything over this. For me, it is exactly what you said. It is car and model specific. The thing I like to say is this: it's not a fact. This is not gospel. But 80,000 miles in an Alfa is probably just the same as 160,000 miles in a Golf or a Volkswagen. It's completely dependent on what the model and engine is. Take, for instance, you know, your Range Rover, that's kind of seen as a car that's going to break a lot. That's 150, right? 140.
138, yeah. Yeah. 130, well, yeah, almost 140 now, yeah.
Yeah.
But there will be Range Rovers with half the mileage, but because they've only pulled around towns and been abused in London and smashed off curbs and whatever else, they will be in considerably worse condition.
Yeah. It's like humans. You don't know their backstory.
That's true.
Until you open them up.
Never judge a book by its mileage.
A Range Rover by its mileage.
Buy on condition.
Agreed. Fully agreed.
That is what I say. If you're going to view the car, which you should be when you buy a car, just buy on condition, basically. Obviously, the thing you should take into account with mileage is values, for example.
Absolutely.
The actual workings of the car, mileage often, actually, I've learned in recent years especially, is that they normally don't matter that much if it's been looked after. If anything, higher mile cars can be slightly better, especially for values. But you have to bear in mind, If you're buying a car with 140,000 miles and you're going to put 30,000 miles more in it, you are limiting slightly who you can sell that to at the end.
Exactly.
Because when you start having a car that's got 180,000 miles, 200,000 miles,
it's people like us. People,
yeah, exactly. There becomes a, you know, you are at the bottom of the funnel, so exactly. to speak.
And but also, there's also, I always thought about this, especially if you're sticking to factory service schedules, there are times when cars become more expensive on their mileage, if that makes sense to you. So let's say your car that needs a cam belt and X and Y done at 70,000 miles. Now, if you go and buy that car at 140,000 miles, that time's coming around again. You've done another 70K. But if you buy it at 160, when supposedly, if that stuff has been done 20K miles ago, you're in that sweet spot when you can use it again without having to worry about that thing. Take, for instance, a Clio 182. They have a dephaser, which we might have talked about before, but it's their variable valve timing, and it needs to be done. Is it every 4 years or five?
5 years.
Every 5 years or 30,000, 20,000 miles?
I can't remember the mileage.
But yeah. An amount of miles. Now, I'd much rather buy a 150,000 mile Clio that had its dephaser done last week than a 60,000 mile one that needs it doing next week. There's value in one having been done recently.
Yeah.
So it's all dependent on the service history that comes with it and the condition the car is in.
I remember when I bought the blue E92 M3, I was looking around for E92 M3s. This was like that sub, I wanted one sub 15 grand. I was like, oh, it's got to be, can't be more than 80,000 miles. I was like, it can't be more than 80,000 miles. And then one popped up in the perfect spec, but it was 105. And even that was probably-
£105,000, that's expensive, mate.
105,000 miles. And it was, again, the spec was perfect, but I was like, oh, it's going to be battered. Surely it's battered. And 105 doesn't sound like much, but on an M3, I was like, it's an 8,500 RPM
if it's high,
VA.
Yeah, hardly.
Surely it's not good. But then when I actually looked at the car, it was perfect.
Yeah.
Like the seats were in far better condition than ones with 20, 30,000 miles less. And again, it's because that car had been used for motorway miles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like things like that. Obviously you can't normally verify that if it's four owners ago. Yeah. But cars that have just been plowing up and down the motorway, it's not much damage to a car.
No,
to just do
our
that.
Cayenne is the perfect example of that. Now that car is ropey.
Yeah.
It's absolutely ropey, but it's 262,000 miles now. That is a Porsche Cayenne 4.5 V8 with over a quarter of a million miles on it. And yet if you look inside, I'd be like, I know 100K, 115K maybe. There's, you know, miles are relative.
Yeah.
Especially like Americans as well. You guys put more miles on your car. South Africa as well has so many. You look at anything and they're like, yeah, it's coming up on 400K. Kilometers. Australia as well. You guys put loads of miles on your car.
Eastern Europe, they're always, always like, because when we say something's high mileage over like 100K, meanwhile, like Poland, they're like, hey, yo, my Passat's got 9,000 million 100 miles on it.
So yes, as an answer to your question, give both a look, but bar on the condition.
My A3, which was on 62,000 miles when I bought it, looked like a nice car, but because of that mileage it was at and it was 12 years old, I had to do loads of stuff. It needed basically a new clutch. I had to do loads of braking stuff.
Now, out of interest, Ben, did anybody tell you that before you bought it?
And this is the forum. We're done with the forum. Let's move on to ranking cars.
Okay.
Oh, we've got a good one this
week.
We have.
This one. There are quite a lot though.
It's a little bit inspired. Someone I think sent that to you, Ben. It's kind of inspired by theirs one.
Let's give them some credit. Hang on. Okay, so a man named Chris Rowden, not sure how your name is pronounced, I apologize, messaged me saying, TDC message, Ben, big fan of the channel, listened to the latest podcast and heard you wanted suggestions for blind ratings. Sending this to you so that Edwin and Will won't see the list. Very smart. So we've taken your list, I've changed it a little bit. Added a couple, taken a couple out, and we have 25, we'll rattle them off quickly.
And what are they? What is this?
So they are, I believe, homologation special cars.
Yes, cars. So what that means is cars that had to be built, road cars that had to be built in order for a manufacturer to go racing with that car. A lot of groups and race series say, fine, you can build a car for this, but to prove that you're not just going to make the best car you can, you need to make 200 that go on the road and they can be sold to normal people for us to allow you in this series. And the result of that is some of the coolest things that we've ever had.
I miss homologation specials. They need to make a...
Well, there's only one recently.
There's only one and it's not
really there. I'm sure he's going to be in the list. So,
because he surely is, but he's not really.
He's not really,
but he is.
Because they did go racing. Yeah. But there's lots of them.
Also, there's so many of them.
It's 15,000
more.
Really? I thought that was the number that they were like, we need to make this many.
I don't know.
And well, right. You'll see what we're talking about in a moment.
Let's get him going.
Let's do it. So as like last week, we'll have 10, top 10. I'm going to read more than 10. So you can get rid of some, put them in wherever you want. But once they're in there, they're locked in.
They are locked in. We can't change it. So this is us. Got to play a smart game here.
BMW M1.
Ooh. Now, he is origins of M.
He is. Because of him, we owe a lot to him.
Very famous race car.
Mm-hmm. And the series was cool. The Pro Car series was very cool.
But.
I think I'd like him in there.
I think he'd like to be on the 10.
I think he could. Ooh, should we lock in?
I think he's the...
He's at the back end.
He supports the table.
Yeah.
He props up the table.
I'm going with a 10. I'm happy with a 9 or a 10.
I would have a 10. I would have a
You'd
10.
Have a 10.
I would have a 10.
10, well, right off the bat, we're putting one in.
Alfa Romeo 33 Stradale.
Very cool. Very pretty.
But I think there's so many things yet to come.
Yeah. Now, also, this happens every week. This is not a gospel list of the best of them. This is just the ones that we like the most. So if you're older, a 33 Stradale is going to be more special to you than whatever is coming up. But this is for us. So I vote out as well.
Yeah, I'm not.
You pretty bastard.
He's 11th, therefore out.
Everything's 11th.
Everything's 11th.
250 GTO Ferrari. Aww.
Do you know what? I'm going to be harsh here and potentially say it wouldn't go in.
I agree, but I think he should. Like it's one that he's so special.
It's just it's very, very cool and it's unbelievable. It's like the most expensive car, blah blah blah. And seeing them racing at Goodwood sometimes is very, very cool. But
do you not feel that much towards it?
I don't feel as much towards. I like the cars that are. This was a hatchback.
Agreed.
This is now a hatchback with wide arches and an engine in the back, or 900 million horsepower, and we only made 8 of them.
Agreed. I'm a group. So I'll leave them off for you. Do we're just gonna have to don the riot shields.
We're removing the 250 GTO,
the most special of all time.
Okay. I'd be willing to leave out the 250.
I think we leave him out
because I think there are perhaps worse. But not worse,
more
actually.
To us.
But there are cooler things to come.
Okay, Ben, kill him.
This one's for Will. Ford RS200.
Oh, I like it a lot, but I think there's a better Ford for me that goes in the list.
A better than the RS200?
I think. Yes, it's rare, and that's cool to me. I like rare stuff. But I'm never seeing an RS200 on the road. Whereas the other guy, you see him around. I have aspirations to one day maybe drive one.
But an RS200 is just cool, man. If you don't know what, an RS200 was a mid-engine.
Ford's mid-engine. Which
was unrecognizable to anything else that Ford was making at the time.
Still powered by a YB?
I believe so.
Yeah, so Escort RS Cosworth, Sierra RS Cosworth, running gear. I leave this to you.
I will plant him in 5th.
Whoa! That's crazy.
An RS200.
Will, I don't know about that. Okay, how about this? I'll meet you in the middle at 7 then.
Where's the middle?
I wanted him off.
You wanted the RS200 off?
Yeah.
That is wild.
I'll meet you at 7.
Fine. That's crazy though.
Okay, so we've got lots of Lancias here. We've got a Lancia Stratos.
Yeah.
We've got a 37.
Yeah.
We've got a Delta S4. So you can choose one of those to go in there.
I at the bare minimum. Now, if we put them all in there, we're starting to run out of space.
Yeah, so we have to just choose one.
By rights, they should all be in there.
Absolutely. Agreed.
But
Lancia is my guy.
We are fair.
Yeah.
I'd have the S4. Because the Stratos is cool. It's kind of got... It's kind of like the 33 Stradale to me, where I don't know what it is. There's something about it that they are very, very cool.
I'm going to agree with you, but only because of what powered it. The twin charge thing, so cool.
That's what I mean. Yeah, the S4 twin charged.
And what is it?
In the rear.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And what is it? It's like 2.4 seconds 0-60 on gravel or something dumb.
Ridiculous thing.
We'll put him in.
We filmed one of those ages ago at Girardo.
At Girardo & Co.
I mean, what it was just a wild thing to look at.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, the road car wasn't quite as wild as came out in Group B, but still, man.
Okay.
They don't make them like they used to.
So we're choosing him. Where are we putting him?
I'm going to put him at 4. I think that is...
Okay, yeah,
he's potentially too low, given how
I'm on board with four.
Successful
four, I'm on board with.
Okay, Audi Sport Quattro.
I think he has to be in there. I think he should be. He's high. I think he could be either just in front of the S4, or just behind him. I think I could put him at three or five, and I'm kind of happy with him. Okay,
and I'm happy with three because that is one of the coolest things.
Noise as well,
especially because if you've ever seen an Audi Quattro. I don't feel much towards an actual Audi Quattro. I think people of that era find them very cool. Well, you like them.
I like them.
I don't know what it is, but then the Sport Quattro, which is a short wheelbase, much wider, stubbier looking thing. And also, I remember we saw one of those at Monterey when we went there.
Yes.
However many years ago. Man, that was the first time I saw a Sport Quattro in person, like a genuine one. Man.
You know what? I want to tell a quick little tangent. So in 2019, when we were working for our old company that we worked at, we did a sponsored campaign where we had to go out to Monterey and film a load of content for this company that sponsored us. And one of the things they sponsored was a party at Singer headquarters. Oh. It was like a Singer party.
It was at a ranch.
A ranch, that's the word. Yeah. So all of the Singer Porsche 911s were there, and we did an interview with Rob Dickinson. Top level podcast guest.
Yeah.
Man, if you're listening, please can we have you?
Get in here.
But so we got to interview him, which was very cool. And this was before the party started. And then we had to wait until the party started to get like shots of people laughing and everyone laughing in money. Everyone going, ha, 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 I make millions of dollars a year.
Are you rich? I'm rich
Me too.
How rich are you? I'm super rich.
And then as we were doing an interview, there's a photo of this. We're interviewing an owner of a Singer. Cars started arriving for the party. And I remember turning my head, and there is a photo of this, photographic proof of this, turning around and seeing a McLaren F1, it was a road car, chassis number 14 that escaped Brunei, a white McLaren F1, behind it, a Ferrari 275 GTB, behind that, two Ferrari F50s, and then a few cars behind, a Pagani Huayra. Not doing some car show, these were just people turning up to a party.
Yeah, crazy.
And we looked around this car park afterwards, there was all manner of crazy stuff. There
just
was
an LFA
parked up.
McLaren.
There was a Ruff Beetle.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
There's a Ruff, the Porsche tuner, made a Beetle in the early 2000s. There's a few of those in the world. Guy just turned up to the party in that. The two F50s, they were friends.
Was crazy. I mean, you are rich. And your mates.
You and your friend go.
They just turned up in matching F50s.
But the cars there, we'll throw some, if I can dig out the photos, I'll throw them up. But that was wild.
Best thing was that the car park was just like grass, but then like they put most of the good stuff sort of towards the front. But I mean, we walked around the car park just to have a look.
The F1.
And the Huayra was just like out in the...
Yeah, Huayra, LFA and F1 were just parked under some trees, like off the road.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely wild.
Yeah, the amount of money at that party was absolutely insane.
I haven't been since, but Monterey Car Week, I would love to go and do it properly.
Oh, yeah.
as a punter, not as, you know, as the help.
Yeah.
The amount of times we got, because we were wearing full black suits to film in, the amount of times we got asked for drinks and food and canapes from people who were like, hey, can you go get this for me? I'm filming things.
I'm here to take pictures. Also, that was my job that day. I had to take pictures of food. How the turns have tabled.
But so, anyway, tangent done. Sport Quattro, on he goes. Number
Very cool.
three.
Number three, is that what we said? Yeah, three. I think that's a fitting three.
R33 Skyline LM.
Oh, that is very cool.
I do like it, but I don't know in this list of guys that he's...
I don't know, I think...
Oh, he probably took a moment to sip and think about that.
I could have R33 at nine.
Okay, R33 at nine.
Plymouth Superbird.
I think he has to be on there.
I don't.
Why?
Because
you just don't like American stuff.
Yeah.
But that's too cool. The dumb big wing, that's cool. With his big nose cone as well. That's so cool.
You think he's above an M1?
I think he could have gone against the R33. He could have gone where the R33 went.
But so you think he's above an M1?
Well, but I also don't think an R33 is above an M1. And so is the issue with this game.
I think he's just not there.
You know what? Fine. I'll let the comments devour you then.
Fine.
Your comeuppance in the comments. Just know, I tried to fight for that Daytona/Superbird spot. Cool guy that is.
There's too many better things that will possibly come.
Heard.
I do regret the R33.
Yeah.
As cool as that is.
Porsche 911 GT1.
No, that has to be on there.
But, if he goes on there, CLK, GTR and F1 have to go on there.
That's fine.
Okay, I'm fine with that then.
Four.
Is that but how do you know they're even going to be on the list?
Because if they're not, Ben, I'll beat you to death.
Because I'm on the list.
Four. Is four available?
Four is taken by Lancia Delta S4. Three is taken by Audi Sport Quattro.
Six.
You have six.
Can I pencil you in for six?
Five. We'll say five.
Five. Okay, yeah, nice. You asked for
Four. Realistically, you should be higher.
Hold on. I rate CLK GTR above a GT1.
So therefore, but we only have one and two.
But no, let's go six. And then if CLK comes up, that can be five.
Okay, six. Do we have six?
All yeah, right, five, six. Okay.
I don't like this game. It's really stressful.
Peugeot 205 T16.
No, I also think he should be on that. Right,
but we're running out, mate.
You have four spots left.
Should we do a top 20?
No.
Top 30? Okay.
No, top 10. Top 10.
UK top 40.
You've got to be brutal with these things, guys.
I really want to put him in, but we can put him out. It's fine.
I think we're going to have to put him out.
That's ridiculous.
He's gone. Very dumb.
That's insane.
We might have ruined this list. This might be our worst list yet.
E30 M3.
I think he has to be on there.
I don't.
You.
Why?
Because he's him.
But over the 205? Over.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Influential. Much more.
Not as cool, though.
He's the daddy M3. He's the first boy.
Yeah, I kind of see what you mean over a T16, but also a T16, it's not that much 205 left.
And that's what's so cool about it.
Yeah.
Because it is crazy. It is crazy.
Listen, you know what?
Legacy.
Now, here's what I'm going to do. I vetoed the 205. You may veto the E30.
What spots have we got?
We got three.
We've got like 1, 2, 5, 8.
You could go at 8.
But how many more have we got? We've got, what, 10 more?
I don't feel much towards an E30. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, but I don't care that much. Well, the engine is very good, especially for its time. But I prefer like a 6-cylinder in one of them.
Yeah.
Ooh, it's a bit, people are going
to I would be willing to have him at 8 or out.
That is for you to choose. I got rid of your T16. And out. Out it goes.
He's gone.
We have removed the M3
now,
from the greatest homologation.
I'll put a contention
specials.
Here because we... Well, I made the rule.
Someone pushed him on the swing mid-sentence.
I said not more Paul Lancias, and now we've got another Ford. We've got Ford Sierra Cosworth RS500.
See, this is the thing. I would have rather...
He has to be in there.
But this is my point. I would have rather had him than RS200.
I'm going to say it.
But he can be on there too.
He can't be in there. Because
what?
Because you can only have
we've
one Lancia.
No, that's not
thing.
True. We got too many, Will. We've got too
you
many.
You had
to get
the Sierra Cosworth has to be.
But you had three Lancias.
This is the issue.
That's not an issue. You can't go, you can only have these. It should be whatever the best ones
that's
are.
That's what we've done.
And is it cool? Do you like it?
Yeah. We've already upset the Italians. Lancia's gone. Only one of them is on there. So you can't have loads of Fords.
That's fair. Hold on, Ben. We got to work this out. The ref can't interject in this. We got
the RS500. I'll be willing to have him anywhere on there as long as he's there.
Okay, so we have number 8 available.
You have got 1, 2, 5, and 8.
8 is quite low, but if he's on there, he's on there.
Well, that's the. I'm going in at 8. I do love it. That's the one for me. It's me that over an RS200 for me.
Also, 8 injectors.
Cool.
8 injectors for number 8.
Because they couldn't make bigger injectors, because otherwise the road car would need it. So instead, they were allowed to do 8.
So the road car has the extra injector rail, but they're not hooked up.
Correct. Yeah.
So people that went for this was more back in the day because there are better solutions now.
Yeah.
But you could just hook up the and extra injectors,
turn up that boost, get some more fuel.
That's just cool.
That's a cool thing.
This was from an era like this is the whole point of homologation specials. It's the car that was on the road was so similar to the one, so that it does depend on kind of like what it's racing in, what group it's
what
in.
Regulations.
But for the most part, it was like if the turbo that you use on the race car, it has to be the same on
as the road car.
On the road car. So the Escort RS Cosworth, which I don't think is on this
no,
list.
No, I don't think it is.
Which is harsh, but look, it's one of my favorite cars ever, but it's fine.
But we said Sierra over Escort anyway, yeah. So it would make
Escort RS Cosworth, the early ones had the same turbo as the rally cars to homologate it, but then the later ones didn't. So,
which is why everyone said on the early ones, they're laggy as hell.
Yeah.
Because they don't have a ridiculous anti-lag system spinning them up.
Yeah. But so basically, if you have to modify it considerably, or, you know, if the competition car is four-wheel drive, the road car must be four-wheel
has
drive.
To be the same.
Same. You know, position for the engine, all of that kind of stuff.
Ben, what were we saying next?
So he's an 8.
Eight. That's yeah. eight.
Okay.
We've got three left.
We've got 1, 2, and 5.
We've got three spots. 1, 6. So whoever's bang in the middle and then our top two.
Oh, no.
Okay. So we've got Metro 6R4.
Well, that's an issue because he has to go on there. He has to.
Not the most successful race car.
But he's too cool. He's the issue, if you're not aware of a Metro, is you need to look at what a standard MG Metro was. And we joke a lot about it's your nan's car, but it literally is your nan's car. Yeah. I think my nan did have a Metro.
That is the nan car.
It is the nan car. And they went, you know what? Let's get that guy four-wheel drive.
Let's put a 400 horsepower V6 in the back.
In the back.
In the
back.
Let's
turbo him and let's go to the moon.
There's not much left of a Metro, but that is what makes it so cool.
That's, well.
On a personal level, I'd put him somewhere in the top two, but I would be happy to slap him in at 5.
I think we go 5.
Also, my dad just bought a chassis.
This is quite cool.
Minor tangent.
Not a real one.
Not a real one, no. So my dad bid on a 6R4 chassis. So it's like the base for a 6R4. Yeah. There's literally nothing to it. There's no engine. There's no anything. It comes with some doors.
It's basically what's left of an MG Metro with some fiberglass on it.
Pretty much, yeah. But it was built by someone who worked on the original ones, blah, 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 all that kind of thing. My dad won it on eBay, I think for £2,600. And then immediately
and it's
got
in the UK,
told,
right?
It was in the UK.
Yeah, because the photos were in the UK and the seller was in the UK.
Yeah. And then a message pops up from eBay saying, yeah, sorry, something dodgy about this bloke, so can't go any further with it.
Yeah.
So he thought nothing of it, fine, kind of annoyed. But so basically, my dad loves the 6R4, has wanted to either build one or buy one. But basically, a proper 6R4, you're 6 figures minimum.
Yeah, a couple hundred.
Possibly £300,000 or £400,000
yeah.
For a proper one. Even some of the good replicas are very, like £90,000 to £100,000.
Coming up on 100 grand.
So this chassis popped up again on eBay a couple of weeks ago. I was like, surely this is a scam. This time, it was for sale in York. Now it's for sale in Italy.
Oh, but all the photos are the same, the seller's
all
the same.
All the photos are the same, the seller is the same.
Hmm.
So my dad thought, oh, why not? Like, where's the, there was like, it felt like a scam, but where is the scam here?
Yeah, you can't, yeah.
Where is the scam? So bid on it again, won it for £2,000 this time.
Woo!
So yeah, at some point need to go and get a Metro 6R4 chassis, figure out what engine to put in it, how to figure it all out, because one of the hardest things, go on.
No, and then persuade him to let us do it on the channel so we can build a 6R4.
Yeah, but he wants to work on it and build an actual, well, his interpretation of a 6R4. Some people do K20, some people do different V6s, but the hardest thing is making them four-wheel drive.
Yeah.
Because you have not many cars of rear/mid-engine and four-wheel drive without going for like 911 turbos and stuff like that, where, yeah, things get very, very expensive. So anyway, yeah, that's that. That's my kind of connection to a 6R4, but that would be a very cool build to do.
So we're putting him in at number 5, was it, Ben?
5.
Yes, he is in at 5.
So we've got 1 and 2 to go with like 7 or 8 left. Yeah.
Renault R5 turbo.
I'd love it to be in there, but no, he can't be top one or two.
No, he's not.
He's gone. Porsche 959.
Do you know what? Because, again, very cool, fastest car in the world at some point. But motorsport-wise...
He was built for Group B, was not very successful in it.
Did it for Dakar?
Yeah, Group B in Dakar.
Yeah.
We've also got a Porsche on the list. We've got a GT1.
I don't feel much towards a 959. I'm willing to remove him.
I am too.
He's not a top tour.
Because also F40. I'm always F40 over a 959.
True. Fair.
GI Yaris.
He's cool, and I love that they did it.
He is homologation in the modern sense of homologation.
Yeah.
But again, if you look at the rally car version, which I believe is a 4-cylinder as well,
yep,
it's so different. And again, it's very cool. You don't get, you know, 3 doors shorter.
Yeah,
the roof is different.
It's cool.
It's the closest thing we'll ever get to a homologation special.
Mm. I don't think he deserves to be on this list, especially not in 1 or 2.
I've just imagined something that's coming. And
what?
He can't go in 1 or 2. It's fine. You're going to see.
Mercedes CLK GTR.
Now, here's what I'm willing to do. In theory, both the CLK and the F1 GT should be on this.
But that's 1 and 2.
I don't think we can do 1 and 2. So 1. And I've said as before, I'm not that much of a Merc man. CLK GTR is special, but I don't know I can give it to CLK and not to an F1.
So CLK GTR.
CLK GTR. We're
knocking out. I do regret some decisions.
I regret all of my decisions.
I really hate this game.
This is the worst game.
I really hate this game. Because it doesn't fully reflect on how I feel.
How many have we got left, Ben?
5.
Great.
5 to do. I think we have to keep a spot open. I think we have to get rid of CLK. Sorry, with your tartan interior, brother, we got to get rid of you.
You're very cool.
You're so cool.
Mitsubishi Evo 6TME. Oh,
this was what I thought of when the Yaris was mentioned. I immediately thought of an Evo.
I'm willing to put him at two.
Whoa!
I love him so much.
I don't think he can.
Fine, that's fine. But
what is he above then?
Everything.
If he's at two.
Well, he'd be above an Audi Sport Quattro, a Lancia Delta S4, a Metro 6R4, a Porsche 911 GT1, a Ford RS200, a Ford Sierra Cosworth RS500, Skyline R33 LM, a BMW M1.
It can't happen.
He cannot.
It can't happen.
I love it, but again, it's not the most insane era of rally. Oh. Although one of the best like road cars, not the most insane era of rally.
Sorry, mate.
We have removed the Tommy Macklin.
Oh.
Ford GT.
That's the new one. Nah, not for me. Because you said they
homologated that for
Le Mans.
Sorry, that was a cough about to start. They homologated it for Le Mans.
Will feels so strongly about Le Mans.
For Le Mans. We saw the Le Mans car of that.
Yeah, they brought them to the office.
Back in the old
gave us a hat. We all looked very stupid in it. I still have that.
I still have that hat in my garage somewhere. It's just on the floor, downtrodden. I don't like that Ford GT.
Ben,
how many
have we got left?
Three.
Three with two to fill. So we can only get rid of one.
We may have ballsed this up. All right. The thing is, if we get rid of the next one, the following two should be safe. The top two.
Are they? I don't know what we're missing.
Well, that's what I mean. Whatever the next one is, if it isn't one of them,
it just is.
The next two have to be the top two.
Go
all right,
off,
fine. Ben. Let fate decide.
Dower 962.
Now, I really like these.
I think it's cool, but I would take them out.
Okay, but what if
the next two?
What if that last one? Because I know the F1 has to still be there.
It takes away some stress because then all we have to do, we know the next two are in. We just have to decide where they are.
But what if it's worse than a Dower?
It could be the Suzuki Liana Racing Edition.
This is what I mean. I don't want to live in that world where we got rid of the CLK GTR.
I'm willing to take the chance.
Okay, quickly though, Dower 962, very cool. Porsche 962 Le Mans race car, which was incredibly successful in its time. A company called Dower, a German company, went, you know what? This, one of the most hardcore race cars of all time. I think this would be a nice road car. I think someone would like to go in the shops in this. So they took a load of chassis, made them a little bit more smooth in some places, fitted a leather interior, and then went, you can go ahead and buy these. And Sultan of Brunei went, I think I'll have a few of those, actually. And they're all still in Brunei.
Wow.
They're parked up. I want to say the total amount of Dowers is five. And there's like two. There's a yellow one that's in the UK, the Shell. And then there's a pinstripe one that I think is still in Germany. The rest are all in Brunei. Cool. Weird.
Cool.
Fine. Off he goes.
So the next two
are our top two.
What's in there? What's the next one?
TVR Cerberus Speed 12.
Okay. We're okay. Right. We're very okay. Good.
I would be, depending on what's coming next, I'd be willing to put him at two.
I think two is two. It's two.
Because that is, despite actually being kind of a failed project.
I genuinely had no idea that's coming, and that's such a good number two.
That's a great number. It's something I actually hadn't thought of as well.
Cerberus Speed 12.
Like, genuinely not, like, just as far as race cars go, didn't really work out.
No,
as far as road cars go, really didn't work out at all.
Doesn't even really exist.
I love that the story is with that. I think there was a drive video on a bunch of Speed 12 stuff recently. But is it Peter Wheeler?
Yeah, Peter Wheeler.
He took a Speed 12 home when the development was happening before they put it on the road. And he drove it home and he was so scared by it, he said, we can't.
He refunded people's deposits and said, we
can't sell this.
I literally can't sell this to you because you're going to die.
I mean, literally the reason very rich people would have bought it because it's so scary. But
you should have done that.
I remember seeing the Speed 12 in Gran Turismo. I think Gran Turismo advertised it at 1,000 horsepower.
Yep.
And it said 1,000 horsepower and 1,000 kilos. I was like, that is...
Yeah.
I'd only just sort of roughly figured out power to weight.
But
I was like, I don't know a car.
How is the guy.
There's no faster car than this.
Yeah. Man, Speed 12. Give me purple.
Also made to compete with an F1.
Yes, in GT1, I think it was.
So, okay, he's a fitting two.
He's a fitting two.
7.7.
And I hope... That means
it's a risk, it's a gamble you've put in here. So the last one to be number one, but it's a McLaren F1 GT.
There's the guy. Now, I don't care that much about, I'm about to say I don't care that much. The long tails to me aren't as interesting.
I was about to say.
But.
Had he came earlier,
what?
I would have said it.
Ooh.
I would have put him out.
Okay, well, that's good that it came last then, because he's number one guy for me.
Because I like the short boys.
Agreed, fully agreed.
The short F1s, like the GTRs and the LM and the road car, the normal road car, but they are not homologation.
I don't know that the LM, I should know this because I like F1s a lot, but I don't know that the LM was a homologation car.
Something about the long tail.
The long tail, yeah, it's not, it doesn't have the same little stubby, angry look. Yeah. But GTs, cool. So if you don't know, the F1 GT was, they made F1 GTRs, short ones, and then the later ones, the GTRs, are these long tail ones. Squiggles is the name of the development car. Don't know why I know that. That's the weird design one. And they made three road cars to homologate it for GT1.
Three?
Three. XP1, which obviously stayed at McLaren.
Yeah.
A burgundy one, really cool color, which went to Japan. And guess where the black one went?
Did it go to the Sultan of Brunei?
That's right. That's the guy. It went
He's
over there.
He's just a selfish guy.
Yeah. Well, it's not just him. It's just the whole family love cars. So they're all owned by different people in
the
family.
Yeah, but do they need that many?
Probably not.
No.
And supposedly, that car has recently gone back to McLaren and been repainted dark blue.
Another reason to let us in.
Let McLaren. Please. Oh, please. But yes, so the three F1 GTs, very cool. One of them got burnt in the fire at one point, but they do, I think, all still exist. Rare as you like. Cool.
Okay.
I hate this list, and I'm not proud of it.
Not proud of it. There's lots of... There are honourable... I also didn't realise until just today, the Toyota GT1...
Yeah, it had a road
car. That was a road car.
288 GTO, that was a homologation car.
There are Pajero Evo, there are many, many things, but we had to narrow this list down a bit. And do you know what? I'm not happy.
No, neither am I.
Not happy about the list.
So, mate, you've hurt us here.
Do you want to read through?
Sure, let's go.
Let's get the final.
Number 10, BMW M1.
Crazy.
Mm. Number 9, Nissan Skyline R33 LM.
Should regret that.
Yeah.
8, we've got Ford Sierra Cosworth RS500.
Sure.
7, Ford RS200.
Mm.
6, Porsche 911 GT1. 5, Metro 6R4. 4, Lancia Delta S4. 3, Audi Sport Quattro, 2, TVR, Cerbera, Speed 12, 1, McLaren F1 GT.
I'm fine with the top 5.
Now you've read it out, yeah, some of our early decisions didn't go best.
No.
I possibly would have liked to have the Evo in there. Yeah.
Hey, let us know what your list would be.
I want to do a top 40,
yeah,
and we'll do an entire podcast all based on rankings, and no one will listen.
Right. I like that. Well, I don't like that.
I don't like that.
That
I'm
was
very
good.
Upset by that.
We also, what we're going to do at the end, we like to do it at the end of every podcast, is we like to end with a nice little argument. Will and I like to argue about everything, as Ben will attest, and we're just going to end with something good. We actually have something good. I came up with it. I can't remember what it was.
Music in games.
Music. Now, we like to play lots of old school games and kind of, you know, video games in general, mostly car-based ones. And something about this has perplexed me since time immemorial. Will turns off the music in games,
yeah,
especially car games.
Yeah,
I cannot fathom it.
But what? Because Edwin will tell me, this song was in this game. And I will say, I don't remember that because I turned off the music.
It annoys me so much.
If it's a car game, I want engine and I want the natural, like the sound effects, and that's it.
But you get
menus.
You get that as well.
No, but you don't.
You do.
You don't get
You hear them both.
No.
It's not one or the other.
No. No.
What do you mean?
If it's a racing game, I want to be, not all the time, GTA.
Yeah.
I'll be happy with the music there. That's fine because it's not really. It's not
so
really,
when you're on a track.
Yeah, or like even Forza Horizon. I turn the
music that is crazy. That's what the whole point of the game is.
What, listening to music?
Yes.
Not driving.
Is it about a music festival?
No, it's a car festival.
Yeah, now, but the original one, it was about a music festival that had car racing
no,
in it.
No, but I like the sound more than I like the music because I don't like all the songs.
Agreed, but that's what I think, that's the reason I find it weird is because that's the beauty of car games. I don't listen to rock or heavy metal or, you know, white music like Ben listens to.
Maybe like Ben Dorsen.
No, we like to make fun of Ben because Ben, the sort of guy that listens to I chimed in.
Also, not even a fact you know for sure. You just one day decided that.
No, yeah, but you just are.
Ben was a skater boy.
Will, yeah, you
said we've
got very similar music taste.
What? That's
wow,
no way.
Will, you listen to My Chemical Romance and stuff.
Are you joking?
Me and you, we got Pink Floyd in common.
We got Pink Floyd.
Yeah.
We always have Pink
Other
Floyd.
Other than that, you're on the...
Cowabunga, dude.
You want that Vans stuff.
Hell yeah, man. Get the vans going. But my point here is that car games tend to give you a taste of something you might not usually listen to.
Yeah, but
there are still good ones in there.
Again, in the menus, or when I'm modifying, tuning, buying parts, buying cars, I can deal with it then. Once I get out there, once I get on the streets, once I get on the track, you better turn that music off.
Here's a question for you.
No.
Yeah. That's crazy, actually. I wasn't expecting that from you.
Tell me.
Okay. You're telling me, like, a Forza Horizon or an Underground 2 where you've got open world, you've never just slowed down for a moment, just listen to the music while you're driving around, just chill driving. You're not going as fast as you can.
But, this is quite funny, quite sad. When I was younger, I used to play GTA Vice City with one of those old steering wheels that you would put, like, where it would go over your knees, so no force feedback.
Can I guess? And drive normally, like, obeying signs and things?
I would drive a coach. I would drive a coach. Because it was one of the harder things to drive.
Bro is cosplaying the M25.
You know, like, people play, like, Truck Simulator now. I was early doors Truck Simulator. So, and again, with, like, this much rotation on the wheel. So I'm driving along in the biggest coat, like, the coach in Vice City, or the bus, whatever it was. And then, you know, you could get that house up near the airport.
Yeah.
I was about to say, like, you, where the garage is.
You do.
And then you sort of get it in there, and you reverse it down the slope. And then you go and redo it around the city.
You're doing like guided tours.
Coming up on the left here, we have Tommy Vercetti's house. And just in a moment, we'll be going over to the golf course where you can pick up the golf club weapon if you'd like to use that.
So I wasn't driving anything interesting, just the coach.
Just a coach.
But on a race on the other games, Midnight Club LA, because there was a thing on Midnight Club LA, when you ever so slightly pressing the accelerator,
that was good.
It puts cruise control on.
So good.
Which is a crazy feature.
Yeah.
I did like that. But again, I'd have it with no music on.
I used to, Horizon 1, because that was when I was like, 13, 14? So I was like, I was warming up for getting a car. I was like, I'm going to be driving. So I used to get whatever I was into at that moment, maybe like an S2000. And I'd just chill. And then every now and then you get to a road that's like a bit more open, give it a blast.
But with music on?
Yeah, I'm listening
to
music.
You're not just Raw Dog Journeys?
Nah.
No music? In real life, do you ever just Raw Dog a journey? No music?
No. I hate it.
Sometimes I will do that.
No, I hate it.
Just silence.
I have different playlists.
You do too.
You guys are weird.
Yeah.
Isn't it just nice?
If I drive like my girlfriend's house, which is about 25 minutes away, a lot of time, especially being quite a busy day, I'll sit there in silence.
I hate it.
I can't do like 2 hours, but
sometimes
hour,
it yeah, makes nice. It go back, it makes the journey go by a bit faster.
But that's not what I'm about. I'm trying to get the vibe. The vibe is what I'm after. I have a playlist for each thing. I've got, oh, we driving, which is if we're driving hard.
Okay,
which what the first song is, the intro music to Drive, the movie.
It is
which,
yeah, very correct. Yeah, what it is, I'll tell you now. I've got you'll like this. If I pull up, oh, we driving. We've got Tick of the Clock, which is that the Drive soundtrack. We have got, where's one of the good ones? We have the Colin McRae 3 rally theme, long version.
So you're playing the Colin McRae rally theme while driving?
Absolutely I am. We can't get copyrighted on Spotify, can we?
Probably.
Okay, yeah, but this will go on YouTube as well though.
I can't play it then. Go and listen to it. What a banger sound. We've got Franz Ferdinand from Gran Turismo 4. We've got Can't Get Enough. That's also, we got Blue Monday on there, just because why not? Tom Beck, Aroused. That's from Grand Theft Auto 4.
Wouldn't know.
Just all sorts of good stuff that makes, when you're driving, you're like, I'm going now.
But you don't just want noise? Just
no.
Car noise?
Nah, because I have, car makes noise as well.
Yeah, but it does be, when you,
how loud are you listening to music?
Nah, well, actually, that's the thing. If I'm listening to music, it is deafening.
That is true. Will pulls up every morning and we're in here with the doors closed. I can hear Will coming around the corner, not from the car, but from...
And music has to be, I like
loud.
Good quality music to be loud. Not loud, not like ridiculous, but like, I like to be hearing it. Maybe right. I am aging badly, but yeah, no, I don't like music. No, it's not
so
true.
Weird.
I like music, but at the right moment.
Have you, but this is it, have you never have I ever driven and heard a song that's just matched the driving so perfectly? It makes you a little bit emotional.
You're going to remember this. Remember when we bought the L322?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And yeah.
We bought a diesel L322, which we have now sold. It was a mistake, but it was quite nice. We bought that car. It was like our first like sort of crew car.
It was our first car purchase, other than the 911.
We never used.
Yeah.
But we drove that back from where we bought it for a ridiculous price. And it had, one of the things you like to do when you buy a car is check out the CD changer, if it has one, or the CD player. See what the, previous owners, they always leave the CDs in. So it's good to see what they've been listening
to. It's a great glimpse into what that car's been used for.
So we put it in. Also, Range Rover has quite a good sound system as well. Started playing Baker Street immediately.
Oh, that was good.
It was golden hour. So the sun was just going down and the sky was like orangey pink. And we were on the, I think I
remember quoting the meme. What's better than this? Life sure is good, huh?
I was like, okay.
We're off.
Now I hear it. Ever since then, I've just not listened to music.
I think I told this on the first, when we were about to launch TDC on Alex's podcast. But I, last year, bought a BMW 8 Series, an 840, a black one. And that is like one of my genuine all-time dream cars. And we were, I think it was before TDC, I think it was on the way back from my girlfriend's house. And it was, again, like golden hour, just starting to go down. And on the radio came a Kavinsky Outsider. I had to double check the name of it. It's a really, really good song. And I had all the windows down. It was summer. So it was like 25, 30 degrees out. Like just nice weather. Flicked the lights on. And I had a cry. I'm not joking. You can ask these guys. I'm not like, cars. I don't care. Cars are cars.
Yeah.
You can have fun with them, but they're for carring. But everything was so perfect, right down to the last detail.
Perfect.
Everything was perfect. And it made me cry. I was like, my dream car with this good ass music on. Hell yeah. What a time to be alive. I think we end the podcast here.
To be fair, no conclusion to that argument because I still turn the music off on games when I do play. Gran Turismo couldn't tell you the soundtrack other than the main menu.
Sorry, Gran Turismo 7. Do you mean Idris Elba going
in the Bugatti?
And I got the Maserati.
Crazy song.
Boom.
That's what I mean. What such garbage songs?
Agreed.
Again, there's a diamond in the rough in some of these songs, and some of them have got 50% good soundtracks.
EA, was it
Rockstar?
Someone mentioned it in the comments last week about the era. I forget what era it is, but the EA era from like 2002 to 2010.
Yeah.
Ooh, there were some bangers in there. Yeah. Someone knew what, even FIFA. Like,
what do they call it?
Used to play FIFA, right?
Yeah, yeah. There's EA Tracks, I think EA they called it at some point.
Oh.
That was actually one of the things you could do on Midnight Club, carrying on with this.
You could edit
the playlist.
Yeah, and choose what you wanted in them.
So I did do that at some point, and I think I ended up with three songs. Hate It or Love It was on there.
I was going to say, if it was Midnight Club, was it just Manny Fresh?
Yeah,
pretty much. That's real big. Yeah.
Pretty much. So I think I just narrowed it down to like three or four songs. And then after a while, I was like, it's getting boring.
This is it.
And I turned it off. But yeah, music and games, menus, cool. Oh,
we missed our music lyric of the week. We'll do that next week. Forgot about that. Because this podcast is, we've been chatting.
Also, you have been sending in lyrics. Continue to send in your lyrics.
Mm.
We will talk about them.
A quick, just before we end, you would like to plug the shop.
Ah. We have a shop. We haven't mentioned this yet on the podcast. This is our first little plug. We have a shop. It is topdeadsea.com. We sell all sorts.
There's, for Christmas, we've got Christmas jumpers, which is a collab between all of our channels that work here. We've also got wrapping paper.
And like Christmas cards. Wrapping paper
and Christmas card, which there is one around here. But anyway, if you go, Ben's going to grab it.
But yeah, we have t-shirts. We have hoodies. Also, we've got loads of... Some of you may have noticed on the YouTube side, we have changed our logo ever so slightly,
not too much. Yep.
So there will be new designs for hoodies, t-shirts, all that kind of stuff. That'll be on there.
And some cream specific, because we want cream. Cream's a cool name.
Yeah.
That's Will's creation, by the way.
I like cream.
Can't take any credit for it.
I'm a big fan of cream.
So am I. So we're going to make some cream specific merch because, you know, we want like just a cool aesthetic brand.
Cars
so
are everything around me.
They
is,
do. Sometimes
a
they do.
Not a brand.
And sometimes they don't.
Sometimes they don't.
Can't find the card, but we will flash it up on the screen now.
Now.
And here's three more and a fifth.
And here's a fish.
And rubber gloves. We have rubber
gloves.
If you're a man of working on cars, rubber gloves. And they're quite good rubber gloves. And yes, tape. Masking tape for masking.
Love it.
But we'll be doing more. We've been doing a lot of like exclusive drops of limited edition stuff. There'll be a line of TDC specific generic stuff that will always live on there that you can grab whenever. Because at the minute we haven't got that. So yeah, with a new logo as well. Yeah. Which you just mentioned.
So if you're a podcast fan, get on there, spend some dough. We'll appreciate it very much. It means we can buy podcast equipment that makes noises like
clean.
Just like
also,
that.
Ben and I are laughing because podcast fan, are you?
Star Wars fan.
There we go. Very nice.
You haven't seen that video, please watch it.
Yeah, we're just, unfortunately, we're you know, it's just memes and bullshit. So,
yeah.
Thank you very much for listening to this perhaps a little bit more ADHD version of the podcast than usual. Yeah. I think we've been infected by Alex and those guys across the way. We'll see you next week when we're hopefully feeling a little bit less bunged up and our brains a little bit more focused. Thank you for listening to episode 7 of the Cars Rule Everything Around Me podcast, and cream get the money, dollar dollar bill, y'all.
Wow.
Very good, Ben.
And that, and now we've all left.